Level Up Latina partners with working women and mamas alike to guide them in achieving fulfilling career and life goals through financial empowerment, professional or leadership coaching, and personal wellness. Find the unique coaching you need to succeed.
You're listening to Vero, Ceci, and Irene, and we are Level Up Latina.
Welcome back to another episode of the Level Up Latina podcast. This is episode 236. We're so excited to be here, back in action, and welcoming all of our amazing listeners. Today, we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about careers and lots of our experiences as career and business coaches. We have amazing clients across the slate here, past and present, that are often working on career advancement. And sometimes that means leaving your job. Sometimes that means hopping around every 2 to 3 years. Sometimes that means growing within the job that you have now, but that doesn't just happen. So we're going to talk about the strategies and the things we've seen with our clients, what's working, what's not, maybe even stuff we've gone through personally at work and how to negotiate the move around and why move around. Why should we job hop? Like, that's a good question to ask. Maybe we're happy where we are. So we're going to talk about that today. Hopefully there's some nuggets for anyone that's tuning in to have this overall conversation about career movement, transitions, elevating. Should you stay? Should you go? And why and how to do that? So before then, hello to my amazing co-founders and partners and co-hosts, La Ceci, La Vero, ¿cómo están? We'll start with Ceci. ¿Cómo estás, chula? Sipping on your coffee. I think it's coffee.
No, it's mate. Okay, I already had coffee in the morning and I'm having este tea de, what is it? Chamomile. I had it since the morning when we did our first show because I needed me calming or whatever. And then my sister-in-law me compró este hace poco. Dice, one breath, one step, one day at a time. Salucita con mi té.
Cheers.
Y aquí, emocionada. Yo tomando agüita porque me hace falta tomar agua. Ando bien seca. Face feels it, my skin's everything. So, tomando agüita y llenándome de amor con ustedes. I feel good.
Bravo. Bravissimo. Good job. I've got coffee in my cup. So, everybody, 3 for 3 with something in front of them.
I like your mug.
My mug is so pretty hot. It's with friends. I'm pretty sure it was during Latina Heritage Month at Target,
and I love you. Have to draw someone else, you have to draw Vero there with her curly hair.
A third woman. I love these though. Yeah. I wish there's three women on there with their little.
I'm the one in the middle. I'm just kidding.
You are, you're the pretty girl. Well, yeah, because she's got the big dramatic earrings.
Did you just call me fat? I'm just
kidding. No, I didn't. I said, I'm the one in the middle. Oh,
she's like, you're the pretty girl.
You call me fat.
You know what? Vero, take her off the podcast right now. Quítala.
No, I said Vero's not there because Vero, you have curly hair. I'm like, we have to drop Vero.
Yeah. Oh, you don't have peinado. Estas también peinaditas, bien bonitas.
We should actually put this when we put this podcast. People can see the mug we're talking about. It's very
bonito.
Beautiful women, beautiful earrings, beautiful hair, and flowers in their hair, and these cute tops. But anyway, they have the sun coming up above them.
Vivan las gorditas.
Vivan las rellenitas. Los tamales mal envueltos. Viva. So we can't help ourselves. We're our silly selves, but we've already introduced what's in our cup. Now we're going to get into this topic. And really, it can go anywhere. Sometimes these feel like the random show because we have so many experiences now as coaches. For gosh, yeah, 3 años, right? Like doing this thing. And can you believe it? Four years doing the dang thing. So, well, yeah, because it's 2024 now. We can really go anywhere where we think about where we've been and where we're going with our clients and their growth. But I will say part of the reason this came up is because I have a lot of clients that often come to coaching because it's about career first. I have a lot, honestly, that they're thinking about like changing. They're feeling stuck. They want to negotiate like better pay. And what I'm seeing a lot is that when people want to negotiate better pay, they come and get the help and the support they need to negotiate that. And sometimes those negotiations go okay. Sometimes they don't go that great. So then the next step is, well, if you're not happy there, you don't have to stay. That's often the next step where it's like, then we move on. Then we find a job that we feel will be happier, will make more money. It's not always about the money, by the way. Like people could be leaving a job because they need more flexibility in a new job. They just want to leave their industry. They're burnt out. Whatever the reason, I have found with clients that if it's not working internally where you are, then you make the move to move on. So first and foremost, do you girls agree with that? Do you see that a lot of clients are jumping around, job hopping, switching, changing, or are you finding that people are growing where they are and deciding to stay? And why or why not? Like, why are they choosing one path over the other? Because that's kind of the things we're comparing today. Do you stay and grow within an organization and hopefully within skills and the environment is something you love and the pay is something you love? Or do you do what is seen as now a really smart strategy and every 2 to 3 years jump around to increase your pay and not get bored and find something new? I don't know. What are y'all seeing? What's the trend with your clients?
I've seen both. I've seen both where it's, you know, young women in like mid to late 20s, they are, you know, they've been in their company, I don't know, a couple years, and then they want to move up and they work with them for them to move up and make sure that they're asking for the pay that they're going to be comfortable with. And then I've also worked with women that, if this doesn't happen, then I'm going to, move somewhere else. And that has happened. And then I've seen women that have been, in their long-term careers and they want to leave, but they can't because they just feel stuck and the pay is good. They have great benefits, but like their bosses are not a good mix for them. They're toxic but they're so scared to leave because, they keep on saying like, oh, I'm going to move by the end of the month or by the end of the year. But then something else comes up and they're just there. And then just the cycle keeps on going and going and going. And I think it has to do with fear because they're so comfortable there already. And it's like, well, what's going to happen with if I leave and starting all over? And it's scary. It's scary. I mean, I did it and I've talked about it numerous times on the podcast, but I think you have to sit down and think of like, what's going to be the best fit for you? Where are you going to feel the most comfortable? And you may leave and not know. And, and that's okay. It's freaking scary because no se sabe like what's going to happen next or if there's going to be a cool opportunity for you afterwards. I think for me, when I left my prior law firm, I left without, because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and, stay with the girls. But I would always kind of fear like, oh my God, well, what's going to happen next? Am I going to find a good fit? Am I going to find something that fits? And then also when I started I guess it's not my new job anymore because it's 3 años, ya voy a cumplir ahí 3 años. But I was 39. So it's like kind of like, closer to 40. And it's like, is that the right move? And so it's so many things that play into deciding, right? Because what I feel like, it makes sense and it's good when you're younger, 20s and even 30s, early 30s, to be hopping around and finding the good fit because you might be switching industries or companies and it's good fit. But I don't know, I feel que ahorita ya, like I wouldn't want to switch somewhere else because I've found my perfect fit. I have flexibility. I'm able to do the things that I like doing. I'm able to, leave if I wanted to go do an activity with my kids. I run my own little department. So I think at this stage in my life right now, I wouldn't because everything worked out with my current job. And if you want to say que también para ti, Irene, because you've been with your company so many years y también tienes mucha flexibilidad. And I don't think you would look to find something else because todo, it's todo, it's like te están dando todo ahí en un silver platter, digamos.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like I look back on my career and anytime that I felt that I was feeling the itch to hop, like, and this isn't going to happen to everybody. So you have to be at the right organization. And I talk to clients a lot about this. Like they created jobs, they created opportunity. The organization grew. So I couldn't have gone from like an entry level role to a management role, operations role, unless the organization needed it. Like if they wouldn't have had a need, I would have had to have moved on, right? So there was the opportunity to promote and to make more money, promote and to make more money. And even now as a CEO, I continue to promote and make more money because the organization continues to grow. So like even in my organization, like the role used to be called executive director, which in like nonprofits is your CEO, but they changed my title formally to CEO because we're just growing so much and there's so much that's happening that it's like optically and professionally, like I'm at the place where I could have EDs under me. And so you can't get there unless you're growing and you are actually advancing and you make more money and there's a reason to pay you more money and to do more high level strategic things as an organization. But you have to have like formal partnerships that happen and funding that gets behind it and all these things have to happen. But again, like, what a blessing. Like you said, the silver platter, like I've grown as the organization continues to grow. Now, if I don't grow the organization, I'm going to get bored. And if the people below me aren't growing and they don't have an opportunity to get advanced or promoted or do something bigger, they would leave the organization. And then how do we sustain them? So yeah, once you find the right spot, like you definitely don't need to hop around. And that's why I see like a lot of people do kind of go to higher education or the medical field, because those big organizations and company, you can grow so much within them. But if you don't have that situation, like more power to you if you go to try to find that. Like, because if there's no growth, you have to be honest with yourself. There's no growth. Like I was looking at some numbers in preparation for this podcast, and they say that like, and it's all this like, you know, YouTube University and stuff. But I like learned on social media, this one person was saying like people who job hop, like on average, they're like getting 10 to 12% more a year, you know, as an increase. And unless you're getting that at your job every single year, you need to bounce. So then I did the math and I'm like, how much do I get on average every year? And it's like a 23% increase. Obviously it didn't happen that way. Every year I don't get 23%. If you look at it overall in all the years and where I started and where I ended, and it's like a 300%+ growth, right? But that should be happening in your career too. So whether you need a leap to get that leap or you need to stay, I think it's important to know those numbers. So when I'm talking to my clients, I'm always kind of advocating for that high number. If you're going to stay and you can command it, obviously you can't salary negotiate unless you can command it and you're doing well and it's going well and the organization has it, but you should be trying to get that 10 to 12% every year, 5% every year, because after 2 years, because the thing I saw online was like every 2 years, it should kind of average out, right? People don't job hop traditionally every year. Like there's no way, but every 2 years or so people are leaving, 2 to 3 years. And it comes down to like that 10%, that 12% that, you know, so are you getting 5% every year? And even that feels really low, because I feel like I'm hearing a lot of people get the standard 3, the standard 5, cost of living. But if you're just getting a cost of living every year, like first of all, 3% is like a joke. But even that's not growth. That's not even on performance. That's just they give everybody a little bit of a bump every year. That's not what I'm saying to get. I'm saying to command that 10 to 12% every 2 years, you need to be growing for your own sake. And so it can happen internally where you are. Look at the math and make sure that, okay, I've grown. I've been able to have new jobs. I've been able to get paid more here. And if you have been very stagnant, my recommendation usually is to clients, like, then it is time to leave, because Ceci said it perfectly earlier. You get comfortable, you get scared about the other job, and then you start to settle. What I'm seeing is, oh, I guess it's enough. It's not enough. If you really are later in your career, you have more experience, you should be making more. The market says you're making more, not you, so-and-so, Juana La Cubana, or whatever your name is, right? You aren't just saying that. The market should pay you more. Then it's time for you to be uncomfortable and like move on, right? So it happens either internally, externally, but know your numbers, number one. Know what everybody else around you is sort of commanding. Is it growth where you are? Is it stagnant? Do you want to stay stagnant? If you do, then that's a conversation you have to have with yourself. And that's okay too. Some people like routine and don't want to make more money, but then you can't complain about the things that are stagnant because like you're choosing that. Or you got to jump. Take the leap, start job hopping. Easier said than done, because securing a bag and securing a job isn't easy. It's a lot of applying. I have other clients right now that it's like, I'm constantly pushing the, what else did you apply to? What else did you apply to? What else did you, like it has to, it's like a numbers game. Like, oh great, 15 this week, awesome. What else? Like if you're really trying to job hop, like that takes a lot of energy to also jump, because you want to find the right job that's going to pay you more. I know I've said a lot, but it's like to give people this little bit of an insight to what it looks like to make the decision to stay or go. But anyway, Vero, your thoughts on what is the majority of your clients kind of deciding or working on, or what's their strategy?
A lot of my clients have come because of that career uncertainty, in the sense of, how do I ask for more? Do I leave my current job? Do I ask, you know, do I throw in for that promotion? Do I not? So there is a lot. I have a lot of my clients have gone that, and they have successfully asked for more and got it. They have successfully pivoted. They have successfully, decided to change industries and applied to like, you know, continue education. So I have kind of a different, I guess, spectrum of clients in the sense when it comes to their career and their professional journeys. And I like to, I coach my clients into what I have had my experience in the sense of, not having fear to leave a job because of the comfort, because of, well, you know, I guess I can deal with my boss saying this, or I guess I can deal with having a team that's always understaffed, or, you know, in my experience, for me, I've always been like, let's try it out. Why are we afraid of change? Why are we afraid of change? And sometimes, you know, I had been faced with change unexpectedly. And then there's other times where I'm just like, hey, I kind of understand what this industry is. I'm interested in something else, and always gone for it. So I would never guide my clients into something where like, hazlo, go and take the risk, if I haven't been there, because it's scary. Change is scary, or doing new things is scary. There's that fear, right, of, well, what if they say no? Well, what's the worst that can happen then? Someone's going to tell you no. But a lot of my clients have, in that trying to figure out, like, how do I make that ask, and how do I move forward? What if I get a rejection? That's where I've coached them on. What is the worst that can happen is a no. But now, once you've voiced what you would want, yes, you know, some organizations have the funds to be able to give you an additional, you know, on top of the 3-5%, which is, you know, what they do as a courtesy for inflation and cost of living. But as we've seen in recent years, obviously inflation was ridiculous, right? We had a pandemic and it was something unprecedented. So I feel that that also helped us realize certain things, that things are not just okay with a 3-5%, you could say, if you want to put in a number. But it's one thing to go and ask, but also not knowing, what have you been doing? You know, what have you been doing as a professional to really keep yourself, and not just relevant, but really contributing to this organization? And I feel that if, with a lot of my clients, I'm like, okay, well, what are you doing to kind of, when you have that one-on-one with your management team, with the leadership, or even with my leaders that are like, when you're talking to your team that are looking, you know, that you supervise, how are you coming into that room? Because I feel that even across the board, the last 3 years, a lot of us have either taken on more responsibility because there has been a lack of people within your team. So leadership has taken on more. Your teams that you're overlooking are also taking on more. So you have to be very conscious of that. So sometimes, one particular client right now, you know, she's a fire protection engineer. She did that big move from Chicago to Houston within the same industry, within the same company. But she had been applying to different jobs. She's like, I want to move companies. I'm just really tired of my manager does not support me, does not advocate for me. I feel like I'm taking on a lot of responsibility. I'm only a second year engineer, but I'm doing things that 5-year engineers, you know, leader engineers are doing. And a lot of it I had to just like learn on my own. So with her, I'm like, we're putting together a presentation. We're putting together a slide deck, homegirl. And we're going to really present to your management, to your leader, why it is that you need, that you deserve, not even deserve, have earned it. Because sometimes like we think in our head, like, oh, well, I don't want to say deserve it. The thing is that you have earned it. So by having the proof that you've earned this, like, hell yes, you realize that you do deserve it because you have been doing so much, right? So at the end of the day, applications, Irene was saying, you submit applications, you get rejections, but from that you start learning, you know, you start learning from it. And then when things got really hard, we got to the point where like, well, where is your company local? Is it national? Is it international? She's like, actually, we're in a national and international. Like we're both. I was like, well, why don't you look to move offices within the same company? The thing is that when you're in it, you get kind of blinded to the whole situation. So a lot of the guidance I do with most of my clients, just like I did with her, is look within your organization. How else can you grow? Maybe that department, you've reached your max and what you can learn and how it challenges you, how you like show up, because maybe it gets repetitive. Maybe it gets tedious. Maybe you need a new challenge, and maybe it's just boring now. And some of us don't do a great job at balancing that, right? We don't do a great job of that work-life balance or the work-life harmony, meaning like my work sucks, so, or it's boring, so I'm going to make sure outside of work I do all these things to help me kind of like remind myself that life is good, right? So in this case, like, don't get blinded by what your immediate situation is. Try to look around within the organization. Are there other departments? Are there other leaders or people that you can reach out to for mentorship and guidance on this, and opportunities within? After that, if you've exhausted all those resources, I am an advocate for get out, get out. If you don't have to leave tomorrow, then start applying now. Just to things that you might like, things that interest you. I feel that many times we do get also like, well, I've been in sales and I've been in this kind of job and I've only done this. And figure out what other skills you have that bring kind of like that, things that you enjoy and you're really good at. Find those things and start applying to jobs that that have that within it. And apply to those jobs and put yourself out there. And that's one piece. And also in the meantime, if you have not yet spoken about work, I'm like, how do we build that the confidence and the level of comfort for you to speak up for yourself? When asking for a promotion or asking for a raise, I tell my girls, because most of our clients are women, right? I tell my girls, I'm like, you know what? You won't know until you say it. And if they say no, now there's two things. You know the no, but then you can also say, okay, well, when is a good time to revisit this? And you can get some more additional information. When do you think when would this be more of an opportunity? Or when can this happen for me? And not only that, now you have voiced your personal concerns to the team, right? So now they're aware, like, dang. I don't know if you guys listen to Marketplace. I like to listen to like The Economy, you know, like in Kairos also. I'm like, I listen to Marketplace often. And a lot of the things that come up is like, it costs a lot more to onboard a new employee because of the job hopping, right? You have people that are job hopping and they're like, well, I want more. But then here you are, an employee that knows how things run, how things operate. You have had the training, you've had the development. So the investment now is not in that, but now it's in like, how do we keep employees from leadership to entry level? How do we keep them engaged and wanting to be here? And pay is part of it, right? The perks are part of it. Everything's part of it. So if you're not job hopping, now your employer can be like, hey, either we're going to lose someone that's just really good at it and we just haven't found a way to channel them or guide them through this whole, like, a roadmap. We don't have a roadmap for them in their career within our company, our organization. How can we, like, redirect them? How can we guide them to get to where they want to be and continue to, you know, have them, like, be an asset to our company? Or do we let them go? They've already voiced what they're asking. Let them go and hire on someone at a higher pay that might be asking. We have to still invest in training and developing them. They're not going to be able to just, you know, hit the ground running. So now they have to, you know, they're aware of what you're like, hey, well, I'm just asking for this. And a lot of times employers are having to turn around and say, maybe we should take a little, you know, maybe we should take care of our team. And we're seeing a lot of that now, right? Like, how are companies, both corporate, I feel like a lot of corporate companies have had like that reality check, right? With a lot of team members not wanting to come back to the office, for example, having to find hybrid schedules. But like, how do these companies or how do organizations, I'm sure Irene, you were faced with something like this as well. You're kind of faced with like, well, what can we do to keep our employees engaged? One of those things is listen to your team. So when you start advocating for yourself, what I tell my clients, when you start speaking up and when you start making those asks, it allows them to get a perspective of what you need. And then if they cannot give you an answer as to like, hey, the no's right now, but in 6 months, we can definitely review this and we can come back with something. Then that's when in those 6 months, if you come back and they're like, hey, you know what? We thought about it or we reviewed our numbers and unfortunately we cannot do it. We can't do it. Then you can say, okay, perfect. You have your answer now and then start looking for sure. But it doesn't mean you know, I say start looking immediately if it's something that you need to go. You're just like, I don't want to wait for the answer. Or if the answer comes back as a no, I want to have already options out there. I'm a big advocate. Go for it. Hop after you exhaust your resources. If it's a toxic environment, leave. But yeah, I think that it's in our time now, our economy now, and how the workplace has shifted in the last few years. It's going to be one of those things. It's the job hop is going to be more. Lo vamos a ver más. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés eso? ¿Cómo se dice en inglés eso?
Yeah, more prevalent.
There you go.
It's going to be more prevalent. So, it's going to be consistent. Yeah, I think it is. And I think I'm coming across a lot of older people in my work that say, like, you know, the younger generation just knows what they want. And they're asking for it. And they're advocating for it. And I love that. And I don't know if we're like in the middle of those two things. Like if we're in the middle of the boomers and Gen Z that knows what they want. So it's interesting because, yeah, I think job hopping is going to be part of the process. And it is expensive. Like Vettel said, it is expensive to onboard people. And some might say it's expensive to keep good people. And I'd say it's an investment to keep good people. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of been our philosophy, that we invest in good people. And so I've seen the investment in me through the years to the point where, like, I picked up and left and went on a sabbatical for a year because they were willing to fund that because they said, no, you're a good employee. You've been here so long and we'd love to keep you. And when you come back, your job is here. And so those creative strategies, that's compensation and that's investing in the right people. And then I go and I pay it forward. And then in staff that are growing in my organization, you know, it's investing in them is the right thing to do. I had a really sweet moment the other day with one of my direct reports, my program manager. She's an incredible woman. She's been there 9 years. You know, she was one of my first hires when I was the CEO and became the executive director. And she was saying how her brother had recently lost a really recent previous boss. Like, he had just been promoted from within at a great company. This is what we're talking about, right? This gentleman applied, her brother, for a job that he didn't feel qualified for. It was two leaps above where he had already been. But his previous boss was like, this is for you. You're the guy. And another guy also at the organization was like, you need to apply for this. And he was like shocked. He's like, people seeing me like two times the growth. Like, wait, what? And he's, you know, not very far removed from college graduation. He's in finance. Anyway, I think it's like logistics and finance. He's promoted and she was just telling me how proud she was of her brother and like getting this promotion and being the youngest in the room at conferences, being the only Latino. I'm just so proud, right, of her brother. Kind of moved her to tears. Flash forward a couple weeks, she starts telling me the story. She's like, you know, my brother, how he got this big promotion? Like, the boss that encouraged him to get that job recently died. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, he died in this like freak accident. And he was only 43 years old. I'm like, oh my God, I'm 43 years old. And she's like, and my brother was so shaken up because she's like, this boss, like, he changed my life. He believed in me. He was everything to me. Like, I have to tell his family when the dust settles and he has young kids and I have to. And I'm like sitting there like I'm holding my back, my tears. And I'm thinking, this is a sad story and like an empowering story. And I'm so happy for her brother. And then she's like, I might get choked up. I'm like, girl, you can cry. Like, yes. And then she's like, because I need to tell you, like, in life, like, what you've meant to me as a boss. And you're that boss to me. And you've helped me grow. And you've seen things in me before I saw them in me. And you put me in positions of growth and you continue to, it's hard to say that to people, you know, and you don't say that to people when things are going right and they're not going wrong. And when it's not toxic, like, we don't even talk about it when it's good. Isn't that crazy? We don't say thank you when it's good. So I'm crying. She's crying. We don't cry. You know, we're professionals. But it was such a beautiful moment of her being like, if you're gone tomorrow, I want you to know what kind of boss you've been in my life and what you've meant to me and how the growth you've seen in me and the life that I've had. And I've seen her have so many incredible successes and grow so much. And as a parent, as a wife, as a professional. So it was a beautiful moment. And I see why that person had no need to job hop, because things just sort of worked out. And then I see myself and her and I'm like, you know, me too. Like, things just sort of worked out and we went for it and we harnessed the moment. And if anything, we can be an example to other people. Because I'd like to say in that whole story, like, she didn't mention that she was a part of her brother's growth, but she's a part of her brother's growth too. Her brother watched her kill it for the last 9 years and grow within and do great things. And so not only is this company telling them, the people in your world, your life, like, are they growing? Are they excelling? Are they happy? Are they grateful? Are they not stagnant? Like, also the people you surround yourself with. So part of my coaching too is like everything. It's all encompassing. It's like, who's in your life? What are you reading? What do you believe? Who do you take your advice from? Are they actually successful? Are they actually happy? It's not all about the money. Like, some jobs pay you in the amazing fringe benefits and the perks, the flexibility, the healthcare, the wellness, the retirement plan, the retirement match, it goes on and on and on. Like, at my organization, like, you can bring your kids to the office. Pretty damn soon, you're going to bring your dogs to the office. If it matters to you, like, let's work it out, right? Those things matter and they fill you. Yes.
No, they're not. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, guys. I'm not on that team. No.
No, but I have a client and my kids are getting older. So I feel like my dogs are going to become my babies. I have a client that I was just meeting with this morning and like, how she has set up her work. It's like so beautiful. Like, all the benefits that she gets to the, and she's paid well, but also all the things around that, the time to work out, the fact that her work will pay for her trainings, that her work will pay for certifications, that, that her work trusts her and brings her into new meetings to become a better version of herself, to grow. Like, that's paying you. That's compensation. Like, if they're paying for your trainings, if they're allowing you to grow in your skill, your resume is growing, like, but you're not coming out of pocket, right? Like, you're saving that money. If, you know, this person that I'm talking about, she has a pension. Those are going away. Like, she's hanging on to that pension, right? Like, pensions are huge. It's part of your compensation. Someone is going to pay your retirement eventually. You got to crunch the numbers, baby. Sometimes we want to run away from a good job, right? But they've got these perks that are like, are you going to make that up in the new job? Like, you're going to make more money. Your expenses are going to go up. Your retirement plan just went away. A free retirement. Now, this plan, she's making all the right moves and she's looking at all the right things. But we have to also not be blinded by, like, the wrong people in our world and just chasing money. Like, money is interesting. You can also be saving money. You can be getting free money through the perks at your job. And you have to know what those perks are to know that at the end of the day, what is coming? Compensation, you're writing it down, you're like, dang, to move on, I need to make 100K more because I'm making 100K and all this stuff. I need to make 50K more, right? We've talked about it before in the podcast, but suddenly you want to move on. Did you add a commute? Did you add childcare? Did you add la, 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 la? Maybe the hop wasn't worth it, or maybe it is. Maybe you're significantly going to make more and you don't even care about what childcare costs because you can afford that and then some. So it's so important to crunch the numbers, and how I started with, it's so important to be grateful for the people in your world that have allowed you to grow and that help you grow. So see, I saw you shaking your head. What were your thoughts on that very long-winded story?
No, I was thinking first when Vero said, yeah, the money, let the money come in. Algo, so you said something along those lines. And I'm like, let me check que si me pagaron, cause since I'm not in the office. I'm like, let me check que si me pagaron, because, you know, like on the 15th, I'm like, oh, que si me pagaron, you know, that's what I was thinking. And then I was thinking, agreeing with everything what you're saying, because it's like, you know, we always talk about, like, you know, working in a nonprofit. And then in my case, when I went into the nonprofit, yeah, I did, I took a huge pay cut. I'm like, what the fuck is that called? Anyway, but then now I'm like making even more than what I was making. So anyway, I have seen that growth. Every year we give, you know, increases. I'm not speaking English today.
Are you Vero? Is your name Vero today?
I'm Vero. Ahorita se me pegó lo Vero.
I love it. You take a vacation and you forget to talk. I love it.
No, I forget how to talk. I forget how to podcast. But anyway. Yes. So anyways, those numbers are coming in and it's just like, yes, it's a nonprofit, but, you know, I'm working hard. I've made our little team grow and, you know, our grantors. Se me está olvidando todo. I'm like, what the hell is that called? Hopefully I know how to log into my computer next week.
Hopefully I have my password when I get back.
I know. As we're talking, I'm like, I should have a check-in meeting with my team next week, like, to start off and know what's going on with cases and things like that, because estoy, you know, empezando de cero, como digamos. Anyway, all to say that, yes, job hopping could be good, but once you're already in your role that you're killing it and you're loving it and you're expecting these pay increases, like, stick to what you do on your job, because many of those times, like, it doesn't feel like a job. It's just like you're showing up and you're seeing the people that you love working with, your team, your clients, you know, in my case. And it's like, that's what it's all about. Just being passionate about it and loving it. And it's just, you know, that's, I think that, like, this is the job that I was meant to be at this particular phase in my life. So I'm grateful for that.
Ultimate example. Like, Ceci, you're literally the ultimate example. Like, big corporate lawyer job that you worked your tail off to get to, that you could have stayed at and probably become partner, right? But it was also a very intense job with long hours, and the flexibility was not going to be there, and you have a young family. So you make the call to move to a different sector where you still get to use your law degree and love all the fringe benefits. And now you're making more. So when you said, oh, it's just a nonprofit, baby, like,
no, let's highlight that all the time.
And it's a secret there. Weapon. It's a secret weapon. Like, you are making more. You've got flexibility. You love where you work. You have a mission attached to it. Like, that is beautiful. So I think it's sometimes, like my mom would say, a la gente se le cierra el mundo. Like, they're in the world. Like, oh, I work so hard. I did this. How can I leave? How can I shake it up? You totally can shake it up and make it to another industry and made so much more. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just so impressed by you. You job hopped. And you have done it, and then you elevated from within, and you absolutely have found the perfect sort of situation for you after you left and you hopped, basically.
What I want to highlight from your story, Ceci, is that you're a lawyer. You're a lawyer. So a lot of, I think for the most of our listeners, you know, like, I think we have an array, such an array of listeners. Our audience is so different. A few people that are going to law school. We have some lawyers that are within our audience. We have, you know, directors and organizations. We have engineers. We have this. For you, what I want to highlight is that if you are, let's say you're not a lawyer and you're hopping to a different industry, like, it's still going to take some work. The thing is that with you, you invested in yourself, right? So this is where it's key. You invested in yourself. And when we talk to our clients, I'm sure we say, like, well, take care of you so that you are able to go in there and, like, reap benefits of the hard work you've done into investing in yourself. As a lawyer, like, I think that you have a special skill set, right? You have a special skill set that not everyone has. So going from corporate and having that plan of what that would have looked like for you, and let's say jumping to a different sector, the fact that you have this skill set that not many people have, their organizations are out there are willing to pay that, and you're going to benefit from that. So I think what we should take away from this is, like, yes, it's going to be great to go, like, anímense, to pivot and to try a different industry, go from corporate to nonprofit, nonprofit to corporate. I don't want people to get disillusioned if they don't reap that same benefit. But what you should focus on is also, like, build that skill set that makes you unique and makes you that very strong candidate that will build you up. So even if it meant taking a pay cut, right? Taking a pay cut's scary because you're like, how am I going to afford everything else? Like the life I've been living. And then you have to think about that budget, right? Like, okay, what is my minimum? The minimum I can make to survive. And then how do I build myself back up to where I want to be and then move forward from there? So don't be afraid. Like, yes, I feel that your story is very unique, and I think it's a good story for people to know, because it's possible to go from one sector to the other and succeed and still get that pay. But I feel that it's also highlight that it's important for you, for everyone out there listening, that build that skill set that makes you so unique and that people are like, I'll drop $100K on you. I'll drop $150K on you, because we need someone like you, because you have an expertise or you have a skill set that we definitely need. And it's going to make you that candidate that makes you
marketable.
Thank you. Yes. So I think it's great that you shared that. I think that taking the pay cut's scary. Sometimes it's, you know, you leave your job because it's maybe not great, and you leave mm-hmm. for something else that is not paying you the same, but they can show you that you can be where you want to be in the next year or two, right? So
yeah.
maybe leaving that job that maybe seemed good, or you just weren't, it wasn't just sitting right with you. It's okay taking that pay cut and then building your way up. Like, how long is it going to take me to get there? But I am significantly feel more fulfilled in my life than it.
Andale. Yeah, feeling fulfilled. That's the key.
I was thinking, it's funny you were saying that. Love you. My honey's leaving to work.
Hi.
And my honey is a good example of that too. Like,
oh yeah,
he's been in a couple of different sectors. So he's moved around. I don't know if it's a different situation because he's a male, right? But he went from architecture to corporate to like a huge medical nonprofit conglomerate, and then now a national nonprofit, and just excelled. Maybe it's easier for men, right? But my son was saying yesterday, what were we saying? It was a funny joke. Oh, my son's gotten into university where he's not decided if he's going to go there. But this university has this really cool program where they have these, you get a bachelor's degree in 4 years. If you add on a fifth year, you can get a master's degree. It's like this 5-year program that gets you a master's degree. And it seems really, really innovative and creative. And they have like 200 programs. So we're going through the list of the programs because he really wants to be an international business bachelor's. And so we were seeing where they have the master's that you can, after the fifth year, you end up with it. And one was like in economics. He's like, well, will I do another year for economics? One was like in finance, I think, which I think he kind of was settling in on. And then he joked, he says this joke. He's like, yeah, so I'll end up with a master's and then I'll have like 5 different jobs and jump around in 5 different careers. And then him and Diego like cracked up. And I'm like, what are they laughing at? Like, why are they laughing? And he's like, and he says, I'll work for this, I'll work for that. And he starts rattling off his dad's jobs and the different, dad sold insurance. And like, I thought it was so funny because I didn't realize, like, oh my God, you guys had this conversation. And Diego's like, yeah, I'm always telling Isaiah, it's like my blessing and my curse because I can jump in anywhere and have so many skills and I can learn something. But some might say that I've also moved around. Right, and that my consistent longevity isn't my skill, but my skill is to do any job. I can jump in and be good at any job and grow in any industry, like I've been in so many. And then Isaiah made that point. He's like, oh, it's like you and mom are like opposites. Like she grew in one space, and like Vettel said, you have to grow your skill set. So like I doubled down on like leadership. How do I get my best and be my best and do leadership and be a good leader at an organization, right? So I've done it in other areas, but you grow in my leadership. My husband has been in like finance. He's been in HR, he's been in leadership, he's been in management, he's been in the architecture field where he got his degree. Like now he's combining all of these as a chief of staff. You have to have like that finance background and the HR background and the management background. So literally built this job out of those three skill sets that already got at different jobs. So yeah, it's kind of like the example that Vero is saying, right? Like you build your skill set, or maybe you become this like mosh-posh of all these skill sets, but that job requires it, right? So funny that we were just saying that. He walks in and he's wearing this really cool work shirt that he has that's like branded. And it reminds me, like, again, I know he's male, but for females listening, like, it's okay. You may not even work in what you got your degree in, which was my son's joke, right? Like, yeah, maybe you're going to be a international business and economics bachelor's and master's, and we don't know what the hell you're gonna do. The like, also, that we don't have it all figured out.
Since we're little, though, women are just guided a very different way. We're just guided so differently. We're influenced differently. Like, you know, like they were just recently, right? Like, oh, how come at Target they were making these comparisons? How come the guy's t-shirt say "Go to the Moon" and the girl's like "Smile Pretty"? So it's just very different, right? Like, it's very different. And when you said right now, like, maybe it's just men because we're men, or it's easier for men. The thing is that men have been challenged. Throughout history, right, throughout the story of mankind, man has had, you know, was the hunter. You nomad, and you had to go to new places and check it out and make sure it was safe. And women were, you know, gathering and making sure that they were, like, they kept everyone together. So, yes, we can keep the unit together. But there's this, it's not as common. It's like, oh, look, we're quick to be like, well, look at her. She can't keep a man. But men, when they, you know, find a new woman, they're like, look at him just moving forward and finding the right person for him. And it's just such a double standard. And I feel that with women, we can be those people that are like so easily say, I'm going to just move on to the next thing. But we get so challenged by everyone around us, whether they are supporting us or not. Like, we get so challenged by those. We're like, are you sure? Why would you want to do that? But you have something so good going for you. And many times those people are not aware of what the exact situation is at work and what we're doing. And maybe they just don't know what's going on within us either, because we're not fucking happy. And we spend so much time at work that it should at least bring some sort of joy, right? Or the skill set that you have at least should be paying for someone. You find hella joy outside of work, right? Like, there should be that. So I think with women, the more that we get challenged on our decisions, it's going to be more for us to get tested continuously and be like, and grow that confidence and like, I hear what you're saying, but I've made my decision. I am going to take that hop. I am going to go try something different. I am going to do it. And slowly but surely, we're going to build that confidence and get comfortable in the newness of things, and saying like, hey, I'm going to apply everything I've learned to this something else. And if you can't find that right opportunity, then you create it for yourselves. Here we are, three young, cuarentonas y buenonas, entrepreneurs. We're coaches, right? We're career life coaches, business coaches, podcasting, que chingados. We didn't know anything about this, right? But we knew there was something missing out there for women like us. And we said, not the why not. We're like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So you create those opportunities and you feel that confidence comes in making those decisions without being worried about what people are going to say. So we're going to get there, Irene.
Love that. Because that's such a cool like tip of the day to remember. Thank you, Vero, for the tip of the day that like we have to also like, quiet the outside noise. Like, you know what you are and what you're worth and what you want to do. You want to take the risk. You want to jump and it's going to be criticized. But you know deep down you want to do it, we're going to do it. If you want to stay and you love it and people don't understand why you're still there, let them judge you. They're going to judge you anyway, right? Or find your hop, like whatever your hop's going to be. It's going to be outward. It's going to be something new. It's going to be inside. Like, I think about my long career and in the process, there's been extensive travel. There's me getting my MBA. There's me doing what Vettel just said as a coach and a podcaster. It fills a different part of me and it gives me this beautiful place to grow and to be challenged and to learn something new. That didn't mean I had to leave a job. It just meant like you built another company. So you can craft whatever you want. Your hop can be you hopping into your own side hustle. We didn't get into that today, but there's that too. Like, you can stay in the comfort of a 9-to-5 and a W-2 and then go build your dream business. So there's lots of strategies and we're not going to get into all of them today, but we want to thank you for listening, for getting through this, you know, 45 or so minute episode with us. And we hope that you'll remember the tip of the day brought to you by Vettel, which is that, you know what, male, female, young, old, Latina, not like you've got to really sit with yourself and your gut and your heart and whatever you want to do, whatever you want to try, whatever you want to leave, like regardless of the judgments, let's get after it. So we have three coaches here with three unique journeys, and we have this amazing podcast full of episodes. So listen to all of those. Join the Guilt-Free Squad. GFS is our wonderful collaborative community. It's group coaching. We meet once a month. We have special events. We have a Galentine's event this weekend. Like, you know, it's beautiful. Women from all over the country are in GFS. So if you need more of that, feel good. If you need a support group, if that's what you need to finally get the confidence to leave a stagnant job or grow within a stagnant job, where maybe you're not going for the great things within, maybe you're being passed up for promotions because you don't have the confidence, come to GFS, come to Level Up Latina. If there's anything we're going to do, is blow up your confidence. We love you. Thank you for listening. If you have something you want to share, things you want to tell us about, or something resonated with you, you can email us. Our email is admin@leveluplatina.com. You can always find us on Facebook and Instagram. At Level Up Latina is our handle. Over at X, I think our handle is @Latina_up. And I can't even believe I said all that correctly. Las quiero mucho, mucho, mucho. Please go to leveluplatina.com to learn more about Vero, Ceci, and I. We are taking clients right now, happily taking clients, and just ready to level you up. Job hop, job grow, job change. You know what? Leave it all behind. Travel. Buy a house. Get out of debt. Have some babies. Knock them out. Have like 4 under 5. We have a little bit of everything here. Las queremos mucho. Chicas, thank you for being here. Thank you for a wonderful episode and for inspiring women to grow and change.
Love you.
Love everybody.
Besos. Love you.
Besos. Don't forget to level up.